for The Plug, our segment where we're going to have a longish conversation about a certain fic. Today's is from Kundi Sheik, and we want to thank her for letting us chat about her work this first time out.
So we're going to be talking about Keep Boredom at Bay, which you may know as the dick pic fic, because it does actually include dick pics.
Real actual dick pics, which was a bold move, but really worked for me.
It worked for me too. So there's a couple things here that just blew my mind. One is that it's largely told in text messages. For anyone who hasn't read it, the premise is that Tony accidentally, I'm using air quotes here because I do not believe it was, accidentally sends Steve a picture of his sweatpants where he is very clearly aroused. This is sometime after New York in our canonical timeline. They are not like friends, but they are certainly colleagues and they have each other's phones. But like one of the fun things about the fic is that their names for each other evolve throughout.
I loved that. I actually had to go back and check because when I realized it was happening, I wanted to go back and see all, I did it. I clicked entire fic and I just went through and like found all the different names that they had in there.
Yeah. And so like it evolves from Steve, from Cap, like he's like in his phone as, you know, Anthony Edward Stark at the beginning and he becomes Tony Stark and it kind of goes on from there. But it is not only told in text messages, which if anyone has read my fan fiction, you know that I use text messages like a fool. It's not only in text form, she actually did a skin where it looks like an iOS, like iMessage.
Yeah, so in AO3, AO3's actually got a lot of power that we don't always explore, but you can use HTML coding and these work skins to actually set it up so that it looks like that. It's not an image that she made and saved. It's a work skin you can put right into your into the code part of your fic.
So like she typed it as text messages and the code did that graphic work is what you're
saying?
Yeah.
There's actually, we're going to link in the show notes to a guide that she shared that she used in order to do that. And some of the other resources you can look into for doing cool work skins, because it's definitely not the only thing you can do. It's really powerful. You can do some cool stuff.
That's amazing. And so like throughout the fic, it really looks like what we're reading, because we are in the world of this fic, from Steve's phone, his conversations with Tony and how it evolves, and they're joking about memes and their selfies they send to each other and the way their language evolves. There are times that Tony is really, really drunk and he is drunk texting like all of us drunk text. There are times that his grammar is perfect and that's when Steve's like, oh, this must be when Jarvis is typing for you. There are times where they joke about like how emotions are really terrible. And then there are some other really, really sweet moments. And so I don't know about you guys, and Farrah and I have talked a little bit about like generations and kind of things, but like fandom especially is a text-based thing. Like we all know each other through text. I make jokes all the time that some of my very closest friends, I have no idea what their voices sound like.
Now you all know what our voices sound like, but for a lot of you, this is the first time.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm sorry, depending on what you think about my voice. And so it's a really different level of intimacy than hearing someone's voice and being able to hear inflections than inferring inflections from text messages. But I felt the intimacy like even more than I usually do through prose.
Yeah, I think that was, it's this kind of an interesting evolution of an epistolary format, because you get to see everything and using the skin added the extra layer, like you said, of seeing their names and all of that. It gives it the actual images she used. She drew art for it. So there's everything that's in there is real and shows up as it would in an actual conversation. And so it's definitely adding an extra layer, an extra tone to the way that they talk, so that everything that you lose with the lack of prose, all that diving into people's heads and being able to say exactly what they're feeling, what you lose from that, you gain all these new layers that we can't put into prose.
Yeah, like I was thinking, we all know what it means when somebody is just really quick, like texting and there's typos and you don't go back and change them. Versus like there's a level of that where it's like, I don't like that is enough of a sentence to me in a way.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine Tony lying on his sofa with a bottle of Glenlivet three quarters of the way down, drunk texting with one thumb.
Yeah.
Versus when he was really clearly trying to make sure he could tell Steve he loved him. And then just as we're, so there's going to be spoilers for this fic. Just know that if you haven't read it yet, stop right here. Go read it. Mm-hmm. It flies. It is so fast.
Mm-hmm. It looks like a lot of chapters and a lot of words, but you'll dive right through it.
You'll dive right through it. I read it very quickly, even, and I know I'm hearing some of my friends roll their eyes because I'm a famously fast reader, but like, no, this is wonderful.
It really is.
We experience them finding Bucky through text message.
And it's, you know, if you just hear that, the instinct is to say, well, that can't possibly be as emotionally impactful as being inside somebody's head and
it was worse.
Close third person.
It was worse.
It was. You fill in the blanks with your own feelings.
Also, because how many of us in some relationship where you've been in a fight have looked at a wall, picked up your phone and seen that you've sent the last 20 text messages?
Yeah. Or you send a text and that feeling of waiting for the person to read it and write back and how scary that is. I really felt that through the whole fic. I mean, through the difficult parts.
Gosh. I mean, I am somebody who really loves exploring Tony and Steve's emotions around finding Bucky. I'm also a Stuckoni shipper, so like there's a lot of ways that this can go for me.
Yeah, for me too.
But I haven't felt it that viscerally in a while in a fix I've read.
It really hit me. And I was unfortunately, I was reading this as a whip as it went, which I don't normally do. But Kanishik was updating almost every day or sometimes multiple times a day. So it was right there and I kept managing, you know, I couldn't save them up. I just had to read them. So I ended up on a couple of cliffhangers that were really hard 24-hour wait. So, but you know, that was what the characters were going through a lot of the time too. So it that really hit me.
I loved also the side conversations. They both have side conversations with the other people's like wing people.
You get these little other moments. And
the
only cues for that are the structure of the iMessage skin. So you can see that there's a different name at the top. You can try and guess who it is based on the name. And then through the context of the conversation, it comes out pretty quickly who you're talking to.
And again, just a real reminder that we as a fandom understand that nobody is an island. And there's no way that these two men would be dating in life without Sam, Natasha, Clint, Rhodey, and Pepper all up in their business.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of support and a couple of shovel talks.
So many shovel talks via text message. Sam's one of my favorites in this. I don't think we get enough in our fandom. I don't think we get enough Sam Wilson. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that this can inspire some more Sam and Steve buddy tropes. I don't know what word I'm trying to use.
Yeah. Using the text messages also gave this a more voyeuristic aspect, even more so necessarily than you get from maybe email or letter epistolary, because you really felt, you know, especially I was reading it on my phone and it was like, it really felt like I was holding someone else's phone and reading their messages. And when things got raunchy and when they were sending pictures back and forth, it really, without ever having to bring in voyeurism as a kink within the fic, there's an inherent voyeurism to the way that we're reading it and consuming it that I thought was really engaging. And it went beyond sexual too, because we got this sort of emotional voyeurism of seeing this difficult transitionary period in their relationship where first they figure out what they want from each other. And then, you know, they start flirting and it gets sexual and they become closer friends, and that just kind of all evolves naturally. And then we go through this challenging part in their relationship. So you really feel included, but in this kind of almost naughty voyeuristic way where you're peeking in and reading their phones when they're not there.
It's a really interesting point. Yeah. And I am not somebody who saves dick pics on my phone. Just spoiler alert.
So, me neither.
It's just not my jam. So at one point I was reading this on my phone as well. And Mr. Flame looked over from his side of the couch. And I was like, fanfic, just it's fanfic. He was like, they put that in fanfic. And we got this whole great conversation about what does it mean when people send dick pics and what does that look like and all those kind of things. So I've been thinking about that for a while as well. And to that end, I know I communicate a lot of emotion these days through memes.
Yeah.
And gifts. And I am not somebody who is shy with using my words. None of you are shocked. And I don't ever feel necessarily at a loss for words, but memes are still often just better. Pictures are better. So when we think about what the dick pics in this fic were communicating, but also like the llama memes.
Yeah.
What does it say visually in ways that we, in a lot of other fics, don't get a chance to do? Although now that I know skins, they may be showing up more in my fics.
Wonderful.
Because this is a really great example of a real emotional genius.
Yeah, it really touches something different that we get to see. And it speaks to what, like you said, about text chat already being something that we relate to as a group of people, using images to communicate something beyond, like there's an idiomatic meaning behind a lot of the memes that we send. And right. We can communicate a lot more sometimes with a GIF than we could in words. So to be able to get that from a fanfic as well, it's just these sort of layers upon layers that really spoke to me, and I think spoke to the thousands of people that loved the story.
Yeah, I've never seen anything blow up so quickly, and I was so delighted by it.
Like, yeah.
I did not read it as a whip, but I saw the pot server, lose its collective mind whenever Kundi posted another chapter.
Yeah, it really became a bit of a cultural event, which was, it's always fun to see that happen and be a part of it. And I hope that Kundi enjoyed the process and the feedback and everything.
Yeah, we're sorry if we overwhelmed you, and at the same time, we're not.
Yeah, because, you know, you did this to us, so you get this correct. Back.
Well, Barrett, I could go on about this for a whole lot longer, but I'm going to hit pause here so that it can be a bit of a summarized conversation. Did we cover everything? Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything. I did want to speak sort of in a broader sense to some people who are maybe thinking about creating a fic that has this epistolary aspect, whether you're using emails or texts or any other kind of straight communication like that. Is there's always this difficult question of, can I tell the whole story in epistolary only? Or should I switch to prose? And if I'm going to switch to prose, when should I switch to prose? And I think Kundi made some good choices here in that we see the cues very easily when it's going to switch to prose, and it switches there when they're together. So their communication would be dead, but these are still moments that we want to get to see as the reader. So I find that in writing that kind of structure, if you choose from the outset whether you're going to have a trigger that creates those prose moments, or if you're going to do the whole thing in epistolary, the hardest part is how you're going to end it generally, because you want to have that peak moment of emotional satisfaction, and you have to decide if that's going to come in prose or if it's going to come in the epistolary format. So I was impressed with her choices, and I think it flowed really well, and it was really nice that we got to see both the epistolary, which you can read really fast and it feels really easy to consume, and then some of the harder hitting prose parts or the deeper emotional connection there.
Yeah, and even like the scene that I thought was going to be nothing, which was the karaoke scene, I was like, oh, this will just be really fun, was one of the most emotionally impactful of the whole time. And she did that through prose, and it would have had to be through prose in order to get the way she wanted to craft that scene. And that was really, really beautiful.
Yeah, I really agree. So, yeah, I think it raises some cool things to think about that go beyond just a single fic, but speaking to fic writers particularly, then to think about epistolary as a format, which doesn't get a huge amount of attention, and different ways that you can add those extra layers to it and make it as powerful or even more powerful than prose.
And to boot, it is wonderful. So on top of all of that, it's just a really fun fic too.
It really is. So huge thank you to Kundi Sheik for being super brave and letting us do our first plug episode about her fic, Keep Boredom at Bay. Again, the link will be in the liner notes. And we hope that after you hear this, if you haven't already paused it to go read it, that you're going to run out and read it.